Good morning. We've got two readings this morning. The first is from Proverbs chapter 10, verses 18 to 32, and that can be found on page 643. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spread slander is a fool. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense. The blessing of the Lord brings wealth without painful toil for it. A fool finds pleasure in wicked schemes, but a person of understanding delights in wisdom. What the wicked dread will overtake them, what the righteous desire will be granted. When the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone, but the righteous stand firm forever. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards to those who send them. The fear of the Lord adds length to life, but the years of the wicked are cut short. The prospect of the righteous is joy, but the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. The way of the Lord is a refuge for the blameless, but it is the ruin of those who do evil. The righteous will never be uprooted, but the wicked will not remain in the land. From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favour, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. And the second reading is from James chapter 3, 1 to 12, which can be found on page 1214. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil amongst the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Good morning. my bad. Sorry. Good morning to everyone. I hope we're all doing well. Thank you so much, Sarah, for reading that out for us. We'll jump straight into it. It's been a tricky few weeks preparing this sermon, specifically because words is very important in the kingdom of God, especially as people of God. And just the daily activities that go on, you're always speaking, whether it's to children, getting them ready in the morning, or trying to quickly hurry up and get ready for church in the morning, just the normal things that go on, or even just to colleagues, difficult colleagues at work, all of these things, it just made me very aware that, I'm preaching about this as well, you know. Not that it was any different, anyway, I'll move on. Let me not talk too much. But let's speak about the tongue. I've got the flame right there. James made it very clear that the tongue is a fire. Does anybody know this image? Can anyone recall this? Anyone? The Great Fire of London, correct. The Great Fire of London started on the 2nd of September, 1666, to Thursday the 6th of September, 1666. It started in a bakery in London, believed to be started off by a spark that made contact with fuel. It was caused by an oven that was left unattended overnight. And as a result of that, the fire spread. Starting off from this baker's house, and spread right the way through central London. Sadly, 6 people lost their lives, and 85% of London's population were left homeless. The houses that were damaged, about 13,200, with 87 parish churches destroyed, St. Paul's Cathedral also destroyed, the Royal Exchange destroyed, and the Guildhall, the City of London's government, also destroyed. All of this started by a small local fire and spread throughout London. An event that's so catastrophic that it's actually etched into the history books. This same fire is what James, the brother of Jesus, says in what we just read, that the tongue is a fire, verses 5 to 6. And he also says that it sets on fire the course of our life. We call this Twitter and social media. That, right? But we have to also bear in mind that Jesus Christ also said that we have to give an account of every idle word that we speak. And those things that we speak are etched in eternity. So, the tongue is a fire, but it's not all that bad, because the Bible also says, according to Proverbs 18:21, that power of life and death is in the tongue. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to go through a few select verses, only 3. But I'm going to pull in a number of other verses as well to show you the entire, or shall I say, the view of wisdom, sorry, the view of the tongue through this book of Proverbs. So let's have a quick read. Again, verses 18. Whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. You go to the next verse. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. So what do these verses have in common? The main common thing about these verses is the heart. If you look at the first one, the first verse, it says, whoever conceals hatred with lying lips and spreads slander is a fool. Where does hatred reside? In the heart. Sin is not ended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues. We'll get to that in a moment. Let's quickly jump to verse 20, then we'll go back to 19. The tongue of the righteous is as choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is of little value. So we see straight away that verses 18 and 20 deal with the heart. So how does verses 19 deal with the heart? Well, multiplying of words seems to denote speaking too much or boasting too much. And that in itself is a witness. It shows us the state of the person's heart when they boast too much of what they have or who they are, or they talk too much, or they gossip. It all points to the heart. And you can also see the connection between the tongue and the heart. It's like a tree and its branches. Whatever is going through the tree trunk goes into the branches. Whatever is in our heart comes out through our mouths. Jesus actually said this in Luke chapter 6, verses 45, that out of the abundance of our heart, our mouths speak. So, what can I say about this? God looks at the heart. Rather than dealing with our tongues, God wants to help us in our hearts. Just to quickly jump back on verses 19. This shows us also that we ought to be prudent with our words. It says, but the prudent hold their tongues. We ought to be prudent. We ought to think carefully about the words that we say because they have power. We're not like God that can speak things into existence. Whew, boy, if that was the case. Ooh, boy. But there is a weightiness that we carry when we speak. I'm sure some of us can testify to some of the experiences we've had where someone has said something mean to us, or even we ourselves have said things that we shouldn't have said, and we have seen the effect it has on people. Words are powerful. We should be very, very careful with how we speak. God looks at the heart, and our tongue and heart are connected, deeply connected. Just as the tree is, the trunk is with the branches and everything else, that's how our heart is with our tongue. And our words in God's eyes must be morally upright. There's no such thing as white lies. An example I could think of is tax returns. Even though, you're not necessarily talking, you're speaking to an accountant. Actually, you are talking to an accountant, maybe, right? But little white lies, little things like that. Maybe exaggerating a certain thing in order to get a response from people. Or maybe just exaggerating something about someone else to someone else, gossiping, in order to make that person look a certain kind of way. All of those things are lies, of which the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies. We have to be very careful with that. Now, I did say that the tongue isn't all that bad. It is a fire, but it can also bring life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 12:18 that the words of the wise bring healing. And that's quite interesting because as believers, citizens of the kingdom of God, our words should actually bring healing. You see, in verses 21, it says, "The lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of sense." We're going to focus on that first clause there. The lips of the righteous nourish many. I believe in the Hebrew, the original language, the word nourish or feed is where you get the same word shepherd. So it isn't just left for Charlie alone or the group of elders, but it's for every single one of us as kingdom people to feed others with life. But we must be rooted in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we don't just give life by encouraging others. We actually give life by simply apologizing. A simple sorry goes a long way. Maybe on the way to church today, you cut someone off and they got angry. You could simply say and move on. Or someone cut you off and they apologize to you. Rather than speaking, you'd nod to show that you have accepted their apology. Maybe that happened to you on the way here. Or maybe your child spoke too, what's the word? All of us know this. When children, you know, they don't really have a filter sometimes. Right? Rather than us to automatically respond the kind of way, we pause. It's a child. Sometimes a gentle rebuke is necessary. All of this is what God desires. To be prudent with our tongue. So let's look at the big picture. This diagram of a cross. I would say the first part from the top is God. Our communication with him. On the left-hand side, well, my left-hand side here, our neighbor, enemies. Yeah. On the right-hand side, our peers. When we look at the trajectory of our life, or not even trajectory, let's look back, actually. When we look back at our lives, can we answer these questions from Proverbs? Do we speak hastily? And do we say so many words? And when I say so many words, I mean empty words to God in hope that he would respond or say something. Jesus said, don't be like the hypocrites, the Pharisees, who say so many words, thinking that, he said, don't be like the Gentiles, I believe, where they heap up so many words in thinking that they will be heard by their many words. Or are we hasty to make a promise to God? Well, King Solomon says in Ecclesiastes not to say too much, let your words be few. Do we speak presumptuously? Are we hasty with our words? If we're to be careful with King Charles, for example, if he came in here to CCH and sat right there in the front, and we got the chance to speak with him, we'd be very careful with our words, wouldn't we? How much more the God who created him? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't speak to God and pour out our hearts, but let's remember that God is holy. He's our friend, but he is holy. What about our words to our peers? From the three verses that I want us to look at today, 18, 19, and 20, are our words like choice silver that carry value? Do they carry value and edify our friends, our peers? Do they? Do we say many, many words in gossiping with our friends about other people? Or do we slander also that kills relationships? Do we slander and speak to our spouses? in a way that harms them, those who bear the very image of God. Do we gossip about others in the church? Not just here, but also others that we know who are Christians as well. This kills the body. It kills relationships. Like I said, power of life and death are in the tongue. You can either build the body or you can contribute towards killing it. The body is the bride of Christ. Remember this. Verse 21 says that the lips of the righteous nourish many. Do we fill our friends who may have hot tempers, for example, or those that we know that have hot tempers? Do we fill them with lies? As in, when I say fill them with lies, I mean we don't tell them the truth. We just tell them what they want to hear in order not to step on their shoes. Or do we nourish them? There's a difference between being filled and being nourished. You can be filled up with dominoes. I'm guilty. But we can fill ourselves with dominoes that have no nutritional value, or we can actually nourish, and that actually helps our body. In the same way, do we nourish our friends, give them life, tell them the truth in love, or do we just tell them what they want to hear so that we, you know, we keep the friendship going? The last two verses of this chapter, chapter 10, it says, "From the mouth of the righteous comes the fruit of wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be silenced. The lips of the righteous know what finds favor, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse." Will we speak wisdom with our friends or perverse words with our friends, perverse conversations, slight jokes that not quite acceptable to speak about in church? But it's okay Monday to Saturday. I'm reminded of Paul that says in Ephesians, "Do not let corrupt communication come from your mouths." All of this is to do with words and our hearts. What about our enemies? What are our words like to our neighbors, right? Do we speak the right words towards them? Or do we reject them straight away? We put a wall and we speak harsh words towards them. Are our words like choice silver? Do we speak the right words at the right time that is necessary for that moment? Or do we choose to say something that would harm them? Do we restrain our lips and say a simple sorry to them when we have done something wrong? Or do we hold it back? Again, do we feed them the truth, or do we nourish? Do we fill them with lies, or do we nourish them with the truth? So I know I've said quite a bit. We can't see on this diagram here. I know I've said quite a bit, but we got the peers on our right hand side. We've got neighbors on the left, and we've got those that we influence at the bottom. That could be our children, our grandchildren, our colleagues, or not colleagues, but those who we may manage at work. Do we speak life into our children or those who we have the opportunity to influence? Or do we harm them with hard words, harsh words even? You see, our immediate knee-jerk reaction with all the things that I've brought up together is to say, okay, well, I'm going to do better with my words. The immediate knee-jerk reaction is to have a fleeting, temporary burst of motivation to do better. And though this is commendable, it isn't sustainable. And the reason why I say this is because of this diagram. How many of us remember this diagram? Right? So if you look at this diagram, you see the cross right there? That's where it starts. That's the starting point. We repent through faith in Jesus Christ, and we have good roots now. We're rooted in him, and he is rooted in our hearts. We produce forth the good fruit that is necessary, and we love. It starts off by what Jesus did on the cross and repentance. Not only that, but it's the life-giving spirit that helps us. That's why I said in the beginning, God wants to help us in our hearts. That's where it starts off. Many of us are guilty, including myself, of not saying the right things at the right time, not saying what we should say, what we're supposed to say, the sin of omission or commission, right? All of us are guilty, but the change starts off by choosing Jesus, looking to Jesus, repenting daily, not just a one time of saying sorry, and then you go through the cycle again, but it is a daily intentional decision. So you see, as believers, we have Jesus Christ, and we ought to ask for him to give us a change of heart and empower us by the Holy Spirit. And we walk in faith. Faith isn't a blind hope. Faith actually, in the Latin, comes from the same sort of word that we get, the word trust. Faith and trust are pretty much the same thing in the Latin, fides, that's the word. For example, you trust that you would find chicken if you're going to KFC today, or if you're going to Lidl after church today, right? You trust that you'd find your items there. Some of us would trust that we'd find steak at Sainsbury's, right? I like mine well done, just to throw that in there, right? Some of us, we trust that we would get paid, and we arrange our plans for the following month, for the few months ahead, right, in light of us getting paid. That's what trust is. In the same way, we have put our trust in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we will walk and believe that he will help us every step of the way. Jesus is with us every step of the way. Okay? So the point is that we move in trust towards God and ask for him to empower us by the Holy Spirit to act in response to what we have heard today and to reflect. I would love to give us rules and say, okay, this is what the proverb says about this, and say it to all of us. And we could go away thinking, man, you could be overwhelmed, right? But I want us to really run to Jesus. That's the only one. Because if you can go away, if you leave this place with some of these things we have read in Proverbs concerning our tongue, it would just be like stapling fruit, Charlie's analogy, it would just be like stapling fruit on a tree. It needs to be connected. And the only way that you can produce forth the right fruits is by being connected to Jesus Christ. Connected to the vine. To the unbeliever, or to the unbelievers that are here or listening to this, this is the Father's heart. I plead with you. Rather than grappling with your tongue, grapple with Jesus. He is the one who can give you a new heart and eventually and effectively heal your tongue and speech. He is the only one that can heal the human heart. The only one that can heal the human heart is the one who made it. He's the only one that can heal your heart. So run to him. We can give principles and stuff like that that can guide you. That's fantastic. But he is the one who changes your heart. Philippians 2 says that he puts it in us to will and to do according to his pleasures. Grapple with the king who was on the cross of this diagram down here. Grapple with that king. He spoke perfect words at the right time. His words were as choice silver with great value. Even to the point of being on a cross and still praying and asking for the Lord to forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. He cried out forgiveness on the cross. Run to him. What a great heart he demonstrated on that cross. He never spoke hastily or out of tongue to his Father. He spoke well to his peers, to his disciples, even those he could influence. To his enemies, he never spoke in a way that was harsh or anything like that. Even though he was struck in the face when he spoke to the high priest, he never retorted in any way that would count as sin. He gave us an example. So, I know I've said quite a bit, but here's the summary. The tongue is a fire, but power of life and death lies in our tongue. It starts off in our hearts. The change starts off in our hearts with repentance, meaning a change of mind, and turning towards Jesus and running to him. We need real change in our inward man, not just the outward to-do list of things or principles to do. It's an inward change first. And the Father's heart is for all to come to him. Notice, when God rebukes, he doesn't rebuke to condemn, but rather to redeem. So what are you going to do with your tongue this week? What will you do differently? What will you do better this week? I would say, let's start off today. Why wait till tomorrow, until you get to work? Start today. Edify one another. Build one another up. Apologize where you need to apologize. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for bringing us together today. You're so gracious, so kind. And Lord, we just pray for forgiveness. We pray and we ask for forgiveness, oh Lord, for using our tongue to say the things that we shouldn't say. And for not saying the things we should have said. Lord, please help us by stirring our hearts to conform to Jesus Christ, so that our speech reflects you and your heart. Lord, we're desperately sick, and you are the master healer. You can heal our hearts. Lord, forgive us for times where we have spoken ill of people, gossiped. Forgive us, O Lord God, for times where we have spoken and boasted and said so many empty words. God Almighty, we ask, O Lord, help us to remember that we are the temple of God, and that our talking and our speaking and our conversation should be out of reverence for you, remembering that. Help us, O Lord, not to talk too much or too little, but just the right words for the right moment. Forgive us, Lord, if we have deceived ourselves by concealing hatred and lied, when in fact you, Lord, see all, even the very innermost thoughts. Help us, O Lord, to be a church that speaks to one another in love, gently rebukes one another, confess our sins to one another, use our tongues to worship you and to build one another up. We desire to see the realities of the truth from the scriptures, and to live holy lives, to speak the right words that builds life around us. Lord God, remind us, Lord, by your Holy Spirit of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.